Hello and welcome to the Footvey English podcast in collaboration with World Football Index, a unique mix of fandom and journalism. Footvey English is your one-stop shop for all things Venezuelan football in the English language, from the men's to the women's and the domestic leagues to the national teams. A few weeks ago, I was invited as a guest speaker to the International Football Forum in Caracas in association with the Sports Law Institute. And I gave a speech on the importance of football agents in developing markets like Venezuela. And today's podcast is a 20-minute extract from that speech. I've purposely left out the Q&A that followed because it was simply in Spanish and English, and with the questions in Spanish and the answers in English and the translation time in between, it made for an unwieldy podcast episode. But if you've ever wondered how I feel about Venezuelan football and why I think agents can make such a difference and how developing markets can and should be improved, this is probably an episode for you. It's much more than just the world of football agency. It goes into data, it goes into scouting, it goes into how we can educate the world about Venezuelan football, which of course is one of the primary aims of the Footvey English podcast and of course of the Twitter account. Anyway, here it is, and I hope you enjoy. In the English summer of 2017, I had my first taste of Venezuelan football. With a few weeks off of work, I decided to intensely follow the Under-20 World Cup and became fascinated with an exceptionally talented generation of Venezuelan footballers. In 2019, my curiosity for Footvey became an obsession. And with the desire to give people another way to learn about Venezuela, aside from headline news, I decided to put my journalistic experience and love of writing to good use to author Red Wine and Arepas, How Football Was Becoming Venezuela's Religion, something that wouldn't have been at all possible without the exceptional help of Ruben Villavicencio. The book is the first and only English language book about Venezuelan football. Writing the book and the weeks I spent here in Venezuela researching for it, and the months of video calls and endless conversations over WhatsApp that followed, is what turned just another interest of mine within football into a fully-fledged desire to become involved and tried to make a positive impact within Venezuelan football. Shortly after the publication of the book in 2020, I launched Footvey English, a Twitter account and podcast dedicated to comprehensive coverage of Venezuelan football in English. And in the 2.5 years it's been running, we've been approached by and worked with professional football clubs, media outlets, and agencies all across the world. We broke transfer news exclusively, even before the illustrious Mario Sanchez, on many occasions. We were cited by prominent football journalists worldwide, contacted by scouting platforms and given use of their products, and had our content quoted by Transfermarkt, the official MLS website, and even club accounts themselves. We were invited to collaborate with New York Red Bulls on their social channels, and we were commissioned by Copa 90 to direct the first non-European club documentary for their This Is series, which was on Caracas Football Club. And somewhere amongst that, I was chosen to be a South American judge for The Guardian's 100 Best Male Footballers in the World in 2020. I've worked hard to dedicate myself to Venezuelan football in recent years, and it has given me some fantastic experiences and opportunities and led to where I am now with Andrade Sports Group, a football agency based here in Caracas. Along the way, I've learned some important lessons and have witnessed and observed many scenarios that convinced me that agents can offer a vital service in developing markets such as Venezuela. And I would like to talk to you today about 4 examples I believe can illustrate that well. I will caveat all that I'm about to say in the next 4 observations and consequent opportunities with 2 things. Firstly, my formal background prior to working in football is analysis, particularly behavioral analysis through the study of language and language use. I therefore pay a lot of attention and place a lot of value on how agents, clubs, and anyone I speak to in football chooses to communicate. As an Englishman, I'm an outsider in Venezuelan football, and all that I say with admiration and respect, ultimately with the ambition to help grow Venezuelan football. So, part 1, unity amongst agents and agencies. A month after moving to Venezuela, I've been here for 18 months now, An agent who I have a lot of respect for and consider a friend sent me a PDF entitled The Language of Football Agents. It was a painful read and full of gatekeeping jargon. In short, it did not aid transparent and effective communication. It did the opposite. It encourages needlessly verbose terminology and another negative symptom that I will talk about in a minute, hierarchical language. Last month, I was talking to the same friend and agent at the end of a long and difficult transfer window for many. The majority of Venezuelan clubs started pre-season earlier than in recent years. The World Cup and a misalignment with other windows had given us many problems. But the most frustrating aspect of it all for me was how many agents chose to conduct themselves and communicate with other agents. I was spoken to in unnecessarily harsh tones, often entirely absent of politeness, in what I can assure you was largely in a very juvenile attempt to establish control of a conversation and place me on the back foot. Fellow agents are not your enemy, particularly not in a developing, undervalued and underrepresented market like Footvay. But I will stress, this was not unique in the slightest to Venezuela, or agents within Venezuela. Sadly, it is a global malaise across the global agency landscape. We suffer for it when we treat our fellow Footvay agents in this way, and we suffer when agents from elsewhere in the world talk derogatorily to us and or about Venezuelan football. My observation is that there is a problem in the agency world inherent to human communication. There is a tendency in conflict-seeking individuals to use every conversation as an arena to establish hierarchy. This is exacerbated in agency if the mindset is adopted that every other agent is your competition. My opinion is that this is self-defeating. Communicating in this hostile and/or exclusionary way does not come across well. It comes across as obscure, vague, and ambiguous. At worst, it can seem that the agent does not have control of the situation or is purposely being obstructive. The opportunity, as I see it, for Venezuelan agents and agencies to gain strength from unity. There were no more than 50 registered agents or agencies in Venezuelan football at the last count, compared to a study in England in recent years that had more registered agents than players. More agents than players in England. That's ridiculous. Let that sink in. Agents and agencies have different skill sets. Some excel with social media support and promotion. Others have a strong intermediation network. A few will have strong legal and contractual background. And most importantly, many will have strong direct relationships that they have curated with clubs around the world. It is natural to be protective of your own expertise, but also leaves you vulnerable to isolation. And in what is a relatively small environment such as Footvay, disunity can be taken advantage of by outsiders, be that other environments or clubs, for example. Having said that, clubs and players also benefit hugely from agents being in harmony. The whole environment gains and can more easily improve and grow. In Colombia, as in other countries, there is a union of agents with a president and a board. Through the union, agents can support one another and benefit from a united front when it comes to unavoidable difficult scenarios with clients, club or player side. I believe Venezuela would benefit from a union for agents. Part two, educate on Venezuela. Historically, the Venezuelan market has been overlooked, but it shouldn't be. The recent successes of the Under-20 World Cup final in 2017 and the Maurice Reveo final in 2022, along with CIES case studies, proves that there is talent on these shores. In CIES's two top 100 teenagers lists of 2021, four Venezuelans featured: Yerson Chacon at 18th, Telasco Segovia at 20th, John Aramburu at 62nd, and Carlos Vivas at 95th. In 2022, three of these four players moved abroad. In 2021's list, the only South American countries with more players listed were the heavyweights of Argentina and Brazil. So Argentina and Brazil were the only countries that had more teenagers in the top 100 in the world than Venezuela. Yet, when I speak to clubs outside of the Americas and Spain, the most common rebuttal or concern raised by sporting directors, heads of recruitment, or head coaches is, but I don't know what the level of Liga Footvay is or how it compares to our league. The second most common is that the statistical data easily accessible on Venezuelan football is, to be frank, not rude, insufficient. Despite a good two-year relationship with Instat, for example, during which data was collected thoroughly across numerous categories, it was often incomplete due to, as Instat told me themselves, broadcasts of too low quality to be properly analysed and the data quantified or games not being broadcast in their totality. For example, a game only having its broadcast starting 20 minutes in or being cut off for other reasons fairly unique to Venezuela. Now, that relationship is over and Instat is owned by Huddle, who also own Wyscout, a valuable data platform for the league is lost. So far this season, Wyscout has not been collecting data either. In addition to this, Liga Footway 2, the Segunda Division, is not recorded on Transfermarkt, Soccerway, or any of the scouting data platforms. Neither does the Under 23 League or any of the other youth leagues. So essentially, the only visibility Venezuelan football has globally is the First Division, which this season is only 15 teams. So in all likelihood, that's 300 players in the whole of Venezuela that have any visibility at all. But as I will talk about, sadly, that visibility is likely to decrease this year. My observation is that there is a lack of easily accessible data and analytics for Liga Footway, which is vital in the decision-making process of the vast majority of professional clubs around the world, particularly when there is a reluctance for clubs to send scouts in person to Venezuela and a shortage of independent scouts already here. This naturally makes the job of agents significantly harder. The opportunity, as I see it, for Venezuelan agencies to become educators to all outsiders, be it clubs, partner agencies, or other football professionals. For example, Opta, one of the most respected data providers in world football, long before Instat, long before Wyscout, long before StatsBomb, last week released their Opta Power Rankings. It's a global team ranking system that assigns an ability score to nearly 13,500 football teams around the world on a 1 to 100 scale. At present, Bayern Munich, Manchester City, Napoli, Real Madrid, and Barcelona make up the top five teams in the world. The good news is Opta's power rankings includes Liga Footway. So where do they rank? Well, for aficionados of the English Football League pyramid, the most known in the world, there is an easily made and understood comparison. The top 11 highest rated Liga Footway sides are all rated higher than all of the teams in England's League Two. So Deportivo Táchira, Monagas, Carabobo, Metropolitanos, Caracas, Puerto Cabello, Zamora, Angostura, Estudiantes and La Guaira are all considered on the same level as the top 10 teams in English League One. So that's the third tier. Deportivo Táchira alone, as it stands, is considered on par with the English Championship. English Championship is considered the strongest second division in the world. As it stands, Deportivo Táchira are considered the same level. These rankings are updated weekly, and as Venezuela's Libertadores and Sudamericana representatives compete across the continent, the rankings will reevaluate in response. My prediction is the best time to consult these rankings will be in June, when the group stages of Libertadores and Sudamericana is over. That's when I feel the Venezuelan teams will have their most accurate ranking. Team form is another resource I have found useful when faced with challenges such as these. Its algorithm ranks leagues quarterly and places Venezuela in quarter one of 2023 in 63rd globally. So team form rank every division, regardless of whether it's the Primera, Segunda, Tercera. Spain's Segunda B is ranked 57th, so six places higher than Liga Footway. Scotland's Premiership, the top division, 61st, and the Chinese Super League at 65th. So when Salomon Rondon was playing in China a couple of years ago, he would have been better off playing in Liga Footway. Liga Footway is above the Premier divisions of European leagues such as Iceland, Finland, Slovenia, and Albania. It's our responsibility as agents and advocates of Venezuelan football to inform and educate, as well as place our players appropriately. Part three, a wholesome service. In Venezuela, what is readily accessible and what the level of facilities at a player's disposal are is wildly different to players coming through the youth academies in Central and Southern Europe. That is the reality. What clubs can provide within their budget and with their resources are dramatically in contrast. What a player in Venezuela needs from their agency is therefore different too. I have observed young players make the decision on what agent to sign with based on how much protein powder or how many football boots they will provide. And sorry for the parents in the room, parents can often have the same attitude. It's understandably a factor to consider, but it should not be the driving force to a decision. If players are not receiving adequate nutrition or nutritional advice from their club, or are unable through lack of resources or education to be self-sufficient on that front, they will turn to their agents for help. A close friend described the relationship some players expect from their agents as like a godparent. Whilst there is value in acquiring basic supplies and sporting material for players, and at the top level, acquiring sponsorship, in developing and undervalued and underrepresented markets like Venezuela, players are more likely to need comprehensive and wholesome support if they are to make it to the top level, or the top level of their own personal potential. The opportunity here lies in the chance to build strong, lasting relationships built on trust and familiarity. At the agency I am part of, Andrade Sports Group, for example, our CEO, Mauricio Andrade, noticed one of our youth national team players was picking up lots of small, inconsequential injuries. Mauricio took him to the dentist. He had several cavities, easily fixed and seemingly unrelated. But multiple case studies going as far back as the 1950s show that cavities upset the biomechanics of an athlete in a small way, which has a knock-on effect. Once the cavities were repaired, the player stopped picking up as many injuries. Dani Perez of Club Brugge is another case in point, where a change outside of football massively influenced his early career. His parents stressed the importance of having a second language, particularly English. When he was at Metropolitanos and negotiations began for him to move to Belgium, Bruges' sporting director switched into English mid-interview to see how Danny coped. It was a considerable factor in them choosing to sign him when he fluently and confidently replied. Agents and agencies in Venezuela have the honor and responsibility to provide a more wholesome service to perhaps their American or European counterparts, because of necessity. The reward is the long-lasting friendship and professional relationship you'll likely build, the life you are changing for the better, and the possibility of seeing a kid that you spotted on a dusty cancha one day debuting in one of the best leagues in the world. Part 4, internationalizing footwear. My final observation and its consequential opportunity is perhaps the one I am most passionate about, and I'm empowered to act at Andrade Sports Group in my role of Head of International Relations. This does not mean to sound as harsh as it does, but as it stands, out of habit, behavioural trends, and perhaps economic reality, the world of Venezuelan football is close-minded. Out of the 10 comparable nations, Venezuela has the second fewest foreign players of any top division league at 55, and just 5 nationalities out of the Americas are represented. Last year, it was just 2, Ghana, Ajin Livingston and Osi Bonsu, and Nigeria, Ade Ogans and Samson Akinyula. Out of the 15 head coaches in Futve, just 2 are foreigners, and both are Argentine. Martin Brignani, who had a lengthy playing career here and was close to nationalising to play for Vino Tinto before Richard Paez took charge and only wanted Venezuelans, and Horacio Masukic, who played here from 92 to 94, and has managed clubs here in Venezuela in all but 2 seasons since 2004, which is like 6 or 7 years longer than some league of football clubs have existed. The lack of diversity off the pitch and in the coaching staff lends itself to isolationism and means Venezuelan football is missing out on the exchange of ideas and cultural diffusion. Even one of football's global heavyweights has suffered from the same problem. This happened to England throughout the 20th century. As an island with the self-perception that it is the founding father of football and gifted it to the world, it fell behind massively by not importing or exporting some of its greatest footballing minds and practitioners. When there were a few coaching exceptions who achieved great things in Scandinavia, Switzerland, Spain and Italy, for example, they rarely returned and or were welcome home to practice what they had preached. It was only with the advent of the Premier League and the multi-million pound TV deals of Sky that the balance began to be redressed in the 1990s. The difference was that England fell behind due to complacency. Venezuela, if it wants to, would be playing catch-up. So whilst my observation is that Venezuelan football is comparatively lacking in diversity and therefore missing out on importing not just talent, but ideas and cultures, the opportunity is as great as it is obvious to internationalise footvay inside and out. It requires some risk-taking from clubs to step outside of their comfort zone and assume the responsibility of what may contextually be a higher maintenance player. But the reward may be huge, and the benefit it will bring, not just to the particular club, but the league as a whole, will be great. Carabobo, in this window, signed a goalkeeper with nearly 100 appearances in the French second division, a league ranked 23 places higher than footvay, according to Teamform. He is the first Frenchman to play in footvay, so will prove to be the litmus test as to whether it can be successful. But instead of sitting back to see how it plays out, I would seize the opportunity to bring more foreigners here, both on and off the pitch, as well as seek out possibilities on a club-to-club level of mutually beneficial partnerships. This weekend, an English head coach will arrive for 9 days to shadow a Liga footvay club, to learn from one of the best coaches that we have here, and to study the league and experience the football here. It's something I am proud of facilitating at Andrade Sports Group, and I hope it can be the first of many such instances. So, in conclusion, I believe that Venezuelan football is on the cusp of establishing itself as a consistent, good quality export market, but we are also in slightly uncertain times. When will the Copa Venezuela return? Was it right to scrap the juvenile rule? With Instat seizing their relationship with the league and Y-Scout currently not providing statistical data, will we see a replacement? Will the Peckerman era produce Venezuela's first qualification to the Senior Men's World Cup? I don't know the answer to these four questions, but I do see four opportunities to be taken, all of which will heighten the likelihood, in my opinion, of a better future for Venezuelan football. So, number one, the opportunity to unite as agents and agencies. Number two, the opportunity to educate others on the strength of Venezuelan football. Number three, the opportunity to provide a wholesome service to players. And number four, the opportunity to internationalize footvay. It gives me great pride to have been able to speak to you today and on a daily basis to be involved in Venezuelan football. Thank you for your time.
La siguieron, ¿verdad? Yo también, por eso me demoré en llegar. Un aplauso nuevamente para Jordan, de verdad, su esfuerzo.